today. It's, you know, getting your political voting block together, as Christian Coalition has done, and then put pressure on. And if you want to put pressure on, the place to put pressure on as far as your numbers is in Washington, D.C., where they were at in October with 1 million men. And brothers and sisters, the senator and congressman were out there rubbing shoulders with them and making speeches with them, because the senators and congressmen have, whether they're Republican or Democrat, they all have one thing in common: they want the votes. So they'll be out there rubbing shoulders with them. Now, on page 170, still just pulling some examples out of this book about what they're calling unity, it says this: "Okay, then, what can we do? If we're convinced that God desires unity among all believers, each of us needs to reach out to brothers who are different denominationally and ethical backgrounds." Reach out to different denominations, which a very, you know, quick reading of that is okay. There's nothing wrong with reaching out to anybody and sharing present truth with them. But this is not the underlying intent of Promise Keepers. It's to come together irregardless of differences. Now, in the opening chapters of this book, and each chapter was written by a different leader in Promise Keepers in this particular book. Randy Phillips, who's the president of Promise Keepers, he asked a question as he's going to follow up in his chapter. And I threw this in here because as we looked in our closing presentation, our last study, the pastor there at Brownsville Revival in Florida, and the expert Protestant theologian that did a research on Holy Laughter, both of these sources cite that they believe that the United States and Protestant Christianity is on the verge of a revival. So when this Randy Phillips in this book puts as a subtitle in this chapter, "Why Now?", what he's asking is, why now should Promise Keepers come together? What's the reason for it? And we'll look at his answer. Why now? Why would men sacrifice the time and effort? Why were so many willing to make such profound commitments to change? What had shifted so much that now men were open to Jesus? After prayerful consideration, I could reach only one inescapable conclusion: we are on the threshold of a spiritual awakening. That's page 3 of this book. Brothers and sisters, Protestant America, as our survey pointed out, is no longer using the Bible as their guide to life. And Sister White points out that those that will not receive the truth for this time are going to be brought under strong